Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
If Monday was for a chesty Minnesota, Tuesday was for a buttoned-up Ryan Day. Welcome to Snap Judgments. That's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward on the Austin and Berm Show, breaking down a Tuesday Minnesota homecoming preview from Ryan Day. And I love the comparison of what PJ Fleck decided to do for his Monday press conference, just letting that chest air out and get some breath. And Ryan Day is like, no, we're going to be straight to business here. And didn't quite go all the way to the top button, but pretty straight-laced performance from the Ohio State coach.
What a contrast. And an interesting press conference. It seemed like this Ryan Day press conference on Tuesday morning here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center went about faster than any Ohio State press conference I've ever seen. I don't know why it felt like it was like...
Yeah, working up the tempo.
Just like, hey, we're in and out of here. Ryan Day seemed pretty dialed in, ready to get back to work. Talked about, 2:45 meeting, Bloody Tuesday, and then... preparing for Minnesota. The Buckeyes are not resting on or feeling good about what happened in Washington. They did what they had to do. They took care of business. Ryan Day, again, just reiterating, the whole point is to win. So it's maybe not always going to look like fans are used to it looking like, but the Buckeyes are comfortable taking what opponents are giving them, and we'll see what Minnesota can give them this week. But there wasn't a lot of gopher talk.
No, not nearly as much as there had been for Washington, and I think there's good reason for that. I think Washington is a much more talented team. This game is also at home Saturday night, primetime for the Buckeyes as they get back, and they're feeling pretty confident in themselves, and they should, I think. But so much of that conversation was not Gopher-related. It was pace of play-related. You and I were talking about that on Saturday at Husky Stadium, the six possessions, and you zoom out, and on the one hand, it's like, okay, over 300 yards, and you score every time you touch it in the second half. You've got pretty good success rate outside of the one botch early on in a red zone situation. If you had extrapolated that and had 12 possessions, then you'd have 600 yards of offense and way more points. And it is still a conscious effort. And I don't know that this conversation is going to go away anytime soon because Ohio State is playing this way purposefully.
Yeah.
And we could like it, not like it, say they'd be better off trying to go up tempo and score more points, but it's in mind that you have to play 16 games. So it's about reps for one, and for two, it's about relying on the best defense in America. And I have a hard time myself taking exception with that plan.
No, and also I was thinking about this on Monday as I was driving home from the live show at Roosters powered by Tansky Power Sports. There's 4 months left in the season potentially for Ohio State. If the Buckeyes take care of everything they hope to take care of and return to the national championship game, there's 4 months left. Like, there's a lot of football to be played, and there is no reason for Ohio State to go out every single week and try to run itself out of the building. Like, at some point you have to say, hey, this is what makes sense in this game plan. Now, again, Saturday is a little bit of an anomaly because the Buckeyes get stopped on fourth and an inch from the 4 yard line, turn the ball over on the punt on the next possession, don't see the ball for 15 straight minutes, and that changed everything. But the efficiency was there. The play calling stuff, as you look back on it, I think more and more, like, it was pretty darn good when it comes down to the results on the game. But people are just going to look at the sheer number and 24 points and 350 yards and go, oh, that's not enough. And Ryan Day certainly, pushed back on Tuesday morning here at any notion that he's like okay with the offense not being great, like, because he says, I worry about it every single play. I'm obsessing every single play. But the defense does change things. Like, it changes the way you can coach. It changes the way you can play. Because if you go, Ohio State went to Washington, a team that hadn't lost in that building in 3+ years, had six possessions and dominated the game. And like, it wasn't even, there was never a moment where you're like, oh, Washington's gonna win. Like, it especially after they botched that fake field goal attempt. Like, it seemed like it just business.
Yeah. I think Ryan Day pointed to a couple stats. Well, there were 16 plays of 10 yards or more. There were 25 over 8 yards or more. I didn't double check that since before we walked down here onto the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, onto the practice field. But I bet he's got a pretty good idea that those numbers are right. He had them off the top of his head. And if that's if a third of the time you're getting 8 yards per play, you're going to be pretty darn good.
It's more than a third. It's almost 45, almost 42, 43% of the time on a 60-play day.
But, you know, and so it's not meant to.
I don't know. I watched the Bengals on Monday night, and they had 42 plays of offense.
Yeah.
So, like, that's an NFL team. And
well, the Bengals offense is terrible.
Decidedly less efficient. You know what I mean? Like, so you can have what we've described as like a professional approach and a professional mindset and still be good.
And they are.
Yeah.
And I think that, look, if Ohio State has six possessions, it's not like Washington gets 12.
Right.
That's not the way the game works. So if it's even and one team is more efficient than the other, they're going to win that game. And I would bet 99 times out of 100, whether that's Washington or last week or Minnesota on Saturday night, that the Buckeyes are going to be more efficient. And if the game gets out of whack, out of what they anticipate, they are more than capable of switching gears and going up tempo. We've seen it, it's a weapon, and that's the way Ryan Day views it. It's a different tool in their arsenal. In a game like they were facing on Saturday, there was no need for them to go up tempo. And you could say, well, yeah, it'd be a lot easier to just win these games by 40 and then get out of the game. But adding 20 more snaps on Saturday and then adding 20 more against Minnesota, or you know, playing 80 of them against UCLA, what does that actually get Ohio State in the long run? I know that perfection is the standard for Ohio State. The result, I don't know what more you could want.
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, you saw Ryan Day on Tuesday, not really, this wasn't a, there was no lamentations from him about how this game went at all. Like,
Other than the fourth and one and the fumble by Brandon Ennis, which he was quick to point, he's not planning to make any changes. He'd said that that return from Brandon Ennis and the one against Ohio showed why he was out there. You can't fumble the football. They said that's pretty out of character for him. If that was happening in practice, we know that he would not be out there. So no anticipated change there with Brandon Ennis, but those are the two things that he pointed to, and that was it.
And as you look back, I mean, I have not rewatched the entire Washington game yet just because of time and travel, but the parts I rewatched the first half, and I didn't watch it, and Ohio State's up 7-3 at the break, and I wasn't watching it going, oh, no, this team looks awful. Like, they dominated pretty much in a half when Washington really had momentum for 12 minutes in a row, and the Buckeyes, you know, they found a way to shut them down. And that's why, like, you look ahead to Minnesota, who is throwing the ball more than they run it for the first time probably ever for the Golden Gophers. And PJ Fleck did his best Lou Holtz on Monday, aside from the
thank goodness that wasn't
exposed.
That
chesticles,
wasn't a Lou Holtz.
Aside from the exposed chesticles, but all he did was sit there and rave about Ohio State and try to, I think, put the Buckeyes at a little bit of a, hey, take it easy on us, pal.
I bet that won't work.
But that press conference from Ryan Day, it was as professional and I mean, you're talking metaphorically about the button up, but like, he was incredibly dialed in today for. You know, I wanted to get his impression about Ohio State only has one home game for the next month. You know, we go to the Horseshoe on Saturday. Oh, it's over there. And we're not back till 1 month from tomorrow.
It's pretty wild.
So it's a unique schedule. And I think that, you know, I'm surprised that we didn't hear him implore the fans to be like there and crazy on Saturday, knowing that it's the one home game for the month.
But I don't think, I mean,
maybe he'll do that later this
surely
week.
He doesn't have to. It's twofold. Saturday is homecoming, uh-huh. So I don't think you're going to get an influx of people that weren't already anticipating coming to watch Ohio State. So you got that captive audience that was already planning on being there, and you have all the festivities throughout the weekend. It's also Hall of Fame weekend, so you have a bunch of cool activities planned for that starting on Friday for Ohio State. And also, this is a fan base that has been clamoring to not play at noon, and they have another opportunity under the lights. So I think you can just assume the combination of homecoming events and an entire day to plan
sure
out before
so.
Kickoff is going to give you that result without begging for
it. But, you know, what else today did Ryan – again, this snap judgments might be a little quicker than normal because there's not a whole lot to discuss.
Snappy snap
from today's press conference. Was there anything that really caught your ear and grabbed the cockles of your heart?
I feel like my heart is full. So it didn't – it's not grabbed. It wasn't removed from me. I think that, you know, we said that last week was going to teach us a lot of lessons about Ohio State. And I think all it really did was validate things that we already thought were true about them. If you were uncertain about Julian Sain, I came away really impressed with the poise, not just with the plays that he made with his legs. And I asked Ryan Day about the decision-making process and throwing the football away. I feel like I'm watching Julian Sain get better in real time, and I'm sure that that goes double for Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and Billy Fessler, especially when you compare that to the interceptions that happened against Ohio 2 weeks prior. So, you know, he handled the road, and I thought the expectation was that he wouldn't be fazed by that. So that validated that. I thought Ohio State's defense was going to have an answer for what Washington did. No touchdown allowed on the road in a Big Ten game. They checked that box as well. And Ryan Day talked about, you know, the praise that went around for the full program to prepare to be out there for an extra day. Like, some of the stuff for this Tuesday was reflective on Washington, because I do think that they viewed that as a legitimate test in a lot of different ways, but not, they weren't uncertain about how they would answer it. They got validation for that. And you look at this particular matchup with Minnesota, it's hard to find and manufacture some of those same ways. I think by Wednesday night, when we're back in here for snap judgments, we'll probably hear more of it's about us and this week, you know, taking care of business, and these are the areas that Ohio State wants to improve. But we mentioned what those are. They've got it, you know, Ryan Day said specifically, and I don't remember if he had ever put this fine a point on it, that 75% touchdown in the red zone is the expectation.
My goal would be 100%.
But he also described that it is very difficult once the field gets compressed, and you're probably not going to always execute to perfection down there. The Buckeyes aren't that far off from that. I believe as of right now, it's 13 out of 20 for touchdowns. They've only had 3 empty possessions. It feels like way more because, you know, we're almost, when we say nitpicking, we're grasping at things.
Those missed possessions stick out like a sore thumb, because that's like the one mistake of the entire game.
But I think that's the point. When we're leaving a Woody on a day like today, I think that this is a very complete football team.
Yeah.
And you're having to find kind of – and I don't want to minimize red zone scoring. That's critical to winning games. But they've only come up empty 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Now, does Ohio State want that to be 100%? Of course, that's the goal. But it all ties back into what we're also talking about with this NFL mentality. You can go for some of these 4th-and-1 and 4th-and-2s, and I'd love to see more of the play calling on the last 4th down, getting C.J. Donaldson play action in the flat rather than, you know, running their head into a wall the way that we saw in the first one in that game. But if that's the lesson that they've learned from the start of that game to the end, I think it's probably pretty clear that the Buckeyes will get that addressed, and they won't drop into 60% or below in red zone efficiency. So, you know, those things exist, as Ryan Day said, today and the Tuesday before and the Tuesday before that and the Tuesday before that. The issues are always there.
Yeah.
But they're not glaring major issues for this team.
Which is a rarity around college football, honestly. If you look around the sport, it's not like there's anybody in the country playing cleaner, more efficient, and more explosive than Ohio State play to play. I mean, obviously there's other good teams, Oregon, Miami, playing good ball. But the Buckeyes, I think what's interesting, after this game against Washington, the national narrative around this team has shifted to a much different point. Like, after Texas, I think it's week 1, people are still looking at it like, well, we don't know really what's what, and just assuming it's 2 heavyweights going at it. But the response that Ohio State has received from the national media going to Washington, I think there are a lot of folks who watched that game and realized Washington's pretty decent. They're not, maybe not good, maybe, especially without a handful of their key
they're
players.
They're good. I mean, they're a bowl team, and they're potentially, you said 8 wins. I think they could win 9 games.
Right. I think that they've got a potential to win 8 to 9 this season. And so it's funny just to see the reaction. Now we can see how Ohio State reacts to that, because it's, even heading into the Washington game, there are a lot of people outside of this building, not really in Columbus, but a lot of people nationally, like, Ohio State's going to lose. Ohio State can't. The Buckeyes are still not – we're still not sold on the Buckeyes. Like, most of the national media is now sold on Ohio State. And that's why the one thing to me that stuck out today is when I hear Ryan Day, like, get excited about something he saw on the field, it's so rare that he, like, audibly – proclaims praise for someone. And like the conversation he had about Arvel Reese today, talking about how that the play Arvel made to reel in Damon Williams at the 8-yard line, 9-yard line. He said that it stopped him in his tracks kind of on the field because he was like,
It stopped Damon Williams in his tracks too. I mean, literally, but also for the rest of the game, you could tell that Damon Williams was like, I'm not going to be able to get away with this.
His entire mindset in the game shifted, and that's what Ohio State can do offensively and defensively. You have players like Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith who it doesn't always matter. Like, if you run 55 plays and you run 10 of them to Jeremiah Smith, chances are you're probably going to win a game.
Yeah.
And it's I think it has to be very liberating for this coaching staff to look around what this roster has and say, well, we can try a whole lot of different things because we've always got these trump cards where we can just throw down. Well, it's 3rd and 11 from the 18. Let's just run a tunnel screen to Jeremiah with nobody blocking for him because nobody had to because the Buckeyes.
I was surprised he called it a tunnel screen because I was like, there was no.
Yeah, there was no tunnel.
He just like took one step and it was a delayed drag. I thought it looked. I mean, I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
of course. I was like, well, that looks like a throwback to the old mesh days.
Yeah, but it had to be behind the line of scrimmage because of some blocking issues. But like, it's just those types of things. They can always just say, well, this time we'll just, you know, we talked to Brian Hartline after the game and he said at halftime.
We just talked to a member of the Ohio State coaching
staff. Talked to multiple members, but we did talk to Brian Hartline for a minute and he basically said, hey, at halftime, we decided we need to just throw the ball because you know you can do it and you can also put yourself in a position where you kind of play into your opponent's hands a little bit. And this coaching staff to me is so much more like mentally ready for anything that's being thrown at them right now because they have answers to everything. And that's
I hope they find someone on special teams.
They'll be fine.
Will they?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the bigger concern today from Ryan Day more than the punt return game was the kickoff return game because as he said, they've only had to return.
That was the most like edgy moment. Yeah,
like they've had six kick returns against them this year. And two of them have ended in Jaden Fielding making a tackle at the 40-yard line. So that's a concern. So, you know, the guys who are in charge of that need to get some stuff figured out. So we got a lot more time for talking about this stuff.
I hope we don't have to take up too much of the stock watch on Wednesday on the beat.
I'm not talking about any special teams on the stock
watch. Wow.
That's probably a lie.
Yeah, there's no chance that you can avoid that.
It's going to be brought up.
Right in the wave of that financial investment, that's what we're going to be doing on Wednesday morning on the beat. It is a tradition. And after the first Big Ten game, you simply have to take a look at the investment and the stocks and the portfolios. Mm-hmm. Tuesday afternoon, those are for snap judgments. And we heard from Ryan Day. Wednesday evening, we will hear from a handful of Buckeyes. Haven't got that list quite yet, but there will also be a lightning round from Ryan Day. Maybe we'll get an assistant or two. I personally would like to talk to James Laurinaitis about what's going on with Arvell Reese and this rise from him and maybe some more about Sonny Styles, who has become, I think, criminally underrated for his value. But we can get into
not underrated, under-discussed. Because he's just doing what people expect him to do, right?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You could probably talk about him on the stock watch.
Yeah, maybe I will. We'll see what happens. Anything could. But thanks for joining us on Snap Judgments on the Austin and Berm Show. It is Tuesday. We've heard from Ryan Day. So much more content to come on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, both of their YouTube channels, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for watching or listening. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET. Yay!